These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Woe to you again, to the Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves. They're already dead. And people walk over them without knowing it. You see, they snuck in secretly. One of the lawyers answered him. Now, you got the lawyers on. The scribes and the Pharisees and the lawyers. Teacher, in saying these things, you insult us also. And he said, woe to you, lawyers also. For you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tomb of the prophets whom you your fathers killed. Watch. Whom your fathers killed. For they killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore also the wisdom of God said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation from the blood of Abel. See, Cain's a Pharisee. To the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. It's interesting to me that good prophets die young. Some of them die young, old, but Zechariah got killed. Jeremiah got his head chopped off down in Egypt, probably. Lord, you know, why don't you take the false prophets? Oh, I'm going to. David said, don't be looking at them. Don't think that they're getting away with it. Wrath is being stored up for them and on them. God called Cain to worship. He had a hard heart because he was a Pharisee. Now again, we check our own hearts. But the quote here in Jude is for you to make sure that you don't have any Pharisees that you're listening to. That you don't have any Pharisees teaching you. Don't let them teach you. You're going to find out. It says don't greet them. I'm just saying what the Bible says. We need to be very careful with who we yoke up with. Number two. Abandon themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error. Who's Balaam? Well, after Og, king of Bashan, remember, he was that guy who was about 13 to 14 feet long. He was a big guy. Evil. After Israel killed him and destroyed that nation, the Moabites were afraid. The southern kingdom from them were afraid. And so the king of the Moabites said, well, we need some religious help. And so in Numbers 22, Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was in great dread of the people. Because there were many, Moab was overcome with fear of the people and Israel. And Moab, the nation, said to their elders, this horde will now lick us up, and all that is around us, as the ox licks up the grass of the field. So the king of Moab, you see now what's happening? The nation is not liking what the people of God are doing. You see where this is going. You know that there's many articles out there about conspiracy theories of the right-wing evangelicals, that especially those white evangelicals are afraid to take those vaccines, and so now we can't have herd immunity because of you. That's their ploy. That's their lie. That's what it is. Even again yesterday, article after article, and I just stopped reading so many of them, but I had to read this one, and I picked it up, and now there's a new dangerous variant out, And it's called the Israeli variant that made it to, I think, Colorado or someplace. And now it's in the United States. And now you have to have another shot. Now, listen, folks, remember what I'm saying. And I'll say it again. I am not afraid. I'm not concerned about the shot. It's not, you know, it's not for me. Is it for you? I'll leave it up to you. But all I'm saying is, you're not going to tell me to take the shot. And by the way, they don't know what the shot's going to end up doing. And by the way, do I have to take it in 2 months because of another variant? When this thing settles down, we'll talk about a shot. I just want to throw that out there, because we're being pulled into a fight. We are being pulled into a fight, and we need to stick with the word of the Lord. So the nation of Moab started picking on the Israelites. These people, we need to get rid of them. So the king of the nation, we don't have a king, but we have somebody who's written over 60 executive orders. That sounds like a king. So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the fees for divination in their hand, and they went to Balaam and gave him Balak's message. That would be like a secular king asking a religious leader who hates Israel to come bless Israel, to come and damn Israel, and yet claims to know God. Okay? So that's what it's like. The king would ask some religious person who knows God, and we're going to find out how much he knows. He knows God, and he knows the principles, and he knows Israel. Come against them. And he said to them, Balaam said to them, lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me. Oh, so he's going to go talk to the Lord, like an acquaintance next door. Right? You haven't seen nothing yet. So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam, and God came to Balaam and said, so God came to Balaam, knock, 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 because he's a neighbor. Who are these men? God said to Balaam. Notice Balaam doesn't say, well, who are you? He knows who's talking, because he went to talk to God, to the Lord. You shall not go with them. You shall not curse these people, for they are blessed. Church, you're blessed. We still got a lot of work to do, but you're blessed. So Balaam goes back, tells him he can't do it. So Balak, the king of the nation, he sends a large contingent with lots of princes and lots of good words. And he says, come and go with us. It will do us great honor, and I will do you great honor. You ask for whatever you want, whatever you say, I'll do. That's a quote. Whatever you say, I'll do. Come curse this people for me. This is just strange. But this is the strangest part of all. Though King Balak give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the command of the Lord my God. Hold, wait a minute. I've always been taught that Balaam, is a false prophet. He is. He's known by the king for his divinations. See, that's why he went there. You see, we got a problem here. We got somebody who talks to God. We got somebody who knows God. He knows the principles of God. If you read through Numbers 22 through 24, you're going to find out Balaam knows Israel. Balaam knows God. Balaam knows his principles, his character. He knows, and he's going to find out, I know how to get rid of those Israelites. Somebody is deep into occultism, deep into occultism, where he talks to God. Now, Lord, why don't you just do away with that guy? Well, because I'm going to use him. See, you know, so you would have never had the prophecy about the scepter rising in the east. You have never had a picture of three levels of Balaam as he prophesies here, and then higher on a mountain to where he's looking down at basically the cross where the people are laid out there, Israel below. You would have never had this imagery and all these prophecies unless God decided to do it somewhere else. But he would have just used somebody else, some other false prophet, because that's what he always does. I'm going to use these people for my good. Don't you worry about them. You contend for the faith. You contend for the faith. Don't you worry about them. Guard your flock. Guard your flock. Elders, guard the flock. Teachers, guard the flock. So you know what happened. They come back. Balaam said, I can't do it unless, you know, God says. So he goes back to God, and God says, okay, go. But, you know, you remember the donkey shows up because God's mad. So he's going to let Balaam have it. But you remember that the angel of the Lord shows up. And remember, this is what the angel of the Lord says, okay? He says, they oppose me. The angel of the Lord, I believe in the incarnate Christ there with the sword. That's Yahweh with the sword, because he goes to battle for Israel. He goes to battle for Israel. 2 Peter 2:15 compares false teachers to Balaam, who love the wages of wickedness. Jude associates Balaam with selling one's soul for financial gain. You remember what happened with Balaam. Later on, he figures out, I'm not done. God, you may be done with me. In fact, you made a fool of me with that donkey, but I'm not done. So he goes to King Balak, and he says, I know how you can win them over. Well, how's that? I know how you can destroy them before God, make God angry at them. Well, how's that? Give them your women. Give them your women. Now, see what happens here? Balaam didn't do it for sex. He did it for money. But he used sex, like Jezebel does in Revelation. You see, it's the lust of the flesh. It's not just sex. It's greed and sex and all those things that lead and go down that way, because it's the way of Cain that leads to the greed, that leads to being perished. Jude associates Balaam with selling one's soul for financial gain. Jesus speaks of Balaam in Revelation 2:14. There are some among you who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin. I want to remind you of idol worship, okay? You and I, I'll bet you there's not one person in here, and I hope there's not one person in here, that puts up a little trinket up on the wall and blesses it every day, or prays to it every day, or those kinds of things. I hope that's not happening. But in general, that's not happening in the Western culture. We don't carve a stone or carve a piece of wood and set it up here. And so when we look at the Old Testament, again, like we did this morning in Isaiah again, where it's talking about these images, it's not the piece of stone that they're worshiping. It is the demon behind it. It is Nimrod and Osiris and all those demons behind it, because they know there's power. How do we know? Balaam knew. There's power. Do you read a horoscope? Stop. Do you pass them around? Do you get a blessing if you pass something on for 8 times? Folks, this is demonic. It's demonic. And it's time to just center ourselves and say, Lord, help us. Not to be angry, not to be hateful, but to be centered on your word and on you. Occultists know God's ways. I would say many of them know the Bible better than we do. Leading God's people astray. False teachers know God's word, but they do it for greed and power. I'm a prophet. You can follow me. You can follow me. That's when you should run. Third one's Korah. Well, we know what happens to him. He perishes. Now, the other two, Cain is kind of on the outside. He's a picture of the Pharisee, but think of it. They didn't really have religion going on back there. They were just worshiping one true God, and yet Cain decided not to. So he's kind of really on the outside, if you will, but Balaam is really on the outside. But you know who's from within? Korah. Korah is from within the church. Now watch what happens here. You have a man who walks in bad ways. He's not going to worship God's ways. He's going to look like he's okay. And he's going to go after and then abandon himself. And then he's going to be part of the leader by that time in his life, a leader in the church somewhere. He's going to be leading the church somewhere, or a leader in the church, or a leader of some group. And so now sedition comes up. Sedition, betrayal, treason inside the body of God. There was always treasons. There was a few. You remember Miriam and Aaron at Meribah, and the one at Meribah, the one at the graves. I'll just translate it, the graves of the lustful, and another one at Kadesh with the giants. You know, they all just said, we're not following the Lord. We're not following God. But this one is one for the books. When Korah was walking in his way, he got to a point where he said to the sons of Levi and to Dathan and Abiram, who are sons of Reuben. Now watch the picture here. You see, Korah is a son of the priests. He's a priest. And Dathan and Abiram are elders because they're in the tribe of Reuben, the oldest tribe. So who has more authority than these three? Just say God. God does. And who did he put in charge to lead them? Moses. Okay, so we have that straight. But these rose up against Moses with 250 other chiefs. So now you've got a church-wide rebellion. Church means assembly. You've got an Israeli assembly-wide rebellion. And that's just part of it. So Korah stands up and says, Moses, you've gone too far, for all in the congregation are holy. Every one of them. Is that true? Yes. Remember what he said to the nations? You are a priesthood. Are we all a priesthood? Yes. Yes. But let's see. What gift do you have? And what gift do you have? And what gift do you have? And see, that's the thing. Where are you positioned in the body of Christ according to your gifts from the Holy Spirit who gave you a gift to be a part of the body? And so we find our niche by what the gift we have and by the assembly laying hands on us, if you will, to find our place in the body. That's from above. That's how it's supposed to be from above. But he says, why then do you exalt yourself? Oh, now we got the other side of the story. Moses, you're exalting yourself. You're telling us which day to pack up and move and which day that we're going to camp and what we're going to eat. And by the way, you know, we're tired of the bread already, you know. And Moses heard and fell on his face. He said to Korah and the company, in the morning the Lord will show you his and who is holy. You have gone too far, sons of Levi. He tried to reason with them. So God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel. This is what Moses is saying to them, to Korah. God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to him, to do service in the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister to them. Isn't this interesting? That Korah and the Levites and the elders are already separated, holy in a way, separated to do ministry, but that wasn't enough for them because they're walking in the way of Cain in their hearts. And their pride enters them. And so Moses said that he has brought you near for him and all your brothers, the sons of Levi, with you. And would you seek the priesthood also? That's Aaron's, by the way. Therefore, it is against the Lord that you and all your company has gathered together. Of course, then Moses sent for Dathan and Abiram, the elders. And he says, come up. What'd they say? We will not come up. We won't come up. So the Lord says, okay, take you 250 chiefs. Take 250 censors. Go out there. I'm going to send Aaron after you. We're going to find out which one is which. I'm going to destroy the whole company. Separate yourselves from those. We're going to destroy the whole thing. Moses jumps in and says, please don't do that, Lord. And then God says to Moses, okay, have the congregation separate yourselves from Korah and these two men. Get away from their tents. Get away from all their things. And you remember what happens. The earth opens up. The earth opens up. And one of those myths, kind of like the flood, kind of like Sodom and Gomorrah. You notice something here? God opposed each of these three to their face. And then over and over, he uses them as parallels of judgment, types of judgment, and warnings to us finally in the book of Jude and the book of Revelation. We should get the point. Why? Why does he do that? Because we're almost into Revelation. We're getting there, folks. We're getting there. God opposed them to their face. 2 Thessalonians 3. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person. Put them on a list. I can't listen to that person anymore. I'm saddened in my heart. I had to add one to the list the other day. And I'm not liking this. I told Gary and I told Sonia, and I have to have some conversations with maybe an elder or two. I'm going to talk to Joe Mason. Because we're in a time where things are like, what are we doing here? What are these people doing? Why is this stuff coming out now? Because it's God's timing. It's God's timing. Stick Robbie Zacharias on your list today. That's a sad deal, Lord. I know. I'll deal with that. You just do what I say. Romans 16. I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who create divisions and obstacles that are contrary to the teaching of God. See, it's not just, there's one thing to create an obstacle and division, you know, and Paul has something else to say about that. But he specifically talks about the division of the word of God. 2 John 1, if anyone comes to you but does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your TV, into your YouTube. Now, if you're a teacher and you're keeping up with these guys, I bless you. Be careful. Don't get caught up in your sin. You hear some things like, that's really interesting. Trans-denominational or trans, what was that word? Like a new word this last week. It's like, whoa, that's really neat. Let me look into that. You find out it's heresy. I want to remind you, he says, for certain people have crept in unnoticed long ago. They were long ago designated for condemnation because they walked in the way of Cain and then they abandoned themselves to the error of Balaam only to perish like Korah. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Folks, we need to guard ourselves. Be in good teaching. Guard each other. That's what this letter is about. Let's stand and sing this song together to close. Kathy, please start.
And in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he calls in cares and pleasure. Christian, love me more than these. Jesus calls us by thy mercies. Savior, may we hear thy call. Give our hearts to thine obedience. Serve and love thee best of all.
Lord, we worship you. We thank you so much for the sun that came out, warmed our bodies and our bones. And spring is here, or almost here. Summer's coming. We love the change. We also love the change in our hearts. I love to see the change in people, change in their attitude and change in their mind, change in their hearts, because they know that you love them. They found a love that is not fake. They found something that is true. And I love them because they have chosen to contend, to get into the fight, not with a sword or a gun, but Lord, with the word of the Lord and with a heart and a spirit that you've given them. We're very grateful, Lord. Help us to contend rightly for the word of truth, we pray, in your holy name. Amen.